In order to save humanity from the consequences of our fall into sin, Jesus humbled himself, suffered, died, was buried, and rose again. But was all that really necessary? Some religious traditions believe that if we work hard enough and follow all the rules, we can earn our way to God, meaning that we don't need salvation from someone else. Why do we need a Redeemer?
When we think about redemption in the Scripture, what we look at are really the Old Testament context and the New Testament context. In the Old Testament, you have the kinsman redeemer who buys back an individual who usually is sold into slavery. And so the element of purchase is present. In the New Testament, we see the concept of a slave market and Christ going into the slave market and purchasing a people for God through his shed blood. And so to understand what redemption is, it's truly the buying back of an individual through a purchase price that's paid. And so the only way that humanity can receive that redemption is through someone paying that purchase price. And that's where the work of Christ comes in. As the perfect man and as God, he comes and provides a substitute, a sacrifice for our sins, giving us the ability to come to him by faith and for the purchase price to be paid to the Father, speaking to God's justice, speaking to God's righteousness, and also very clearly demonstrating God's love, that his love sent his Son to purchase our sins.
The fall that we've already been talking about brought man into a condition not only of condemnation, so that we need forgiveness of sins, but this condemnation is something that comes to us as a result of a single act of disobedience, as Paul said in Romans 5. Therefore, no matter what we do, if we were to obey the law from this time forward in our lives, we could never achieve a righteousness because we already are sinners. We've already broken God's law. There's no way that we can come back to the standard of righteousness. The one that does the law shall live by them, but we already are lawbreakers. And so from the fact that the law has been broken and we are under condemnation, we need a Redeemer. There is an absolute righteousness that is needed. And so one must come who can fulfill God's requirement of an absolute righteousness. But also, even if we could, say, achieve some degree of righteousness by our present obedience, there's still the necessity of someone paying for the sins of our past. There's someone that must pay for the lawbreaking that we have already done. God will not violate his law, and he said that if we break the law, that we will die, that we are under a curse. Everyone that continues not in all things written in the book of the law to do them are under a curse. So we are cursed, even if we obeyed all of God's law right now. So someone must pay for the curse, but we cannot pay it ourselves in such a way as to gain forgiveness. It would simply be a just punishment that must continue forever. So for someone to pay in order for forgiveness actually to come, there must be a uniquely qualified Redeemer to do this. And a third thing that is involved in this is that there must be such an authority and such a glory in the Redeemer that God is fully satisfied with the honor that is shown him by the obedience of this person. And Anselm, who was a theologian of the Middle Ages, talks about this particular aspect of the atonement, that Christ, who was God himself, could not gain anything by himself, by his obedience, because he already had equal honor with God, and therefore his obedience must be given to others. And God is infinitely satisfied with this obedience because the person obeying also has the kind of honor that God requires. So this honor that is given to God is another part of the redemption. And the granting of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who can grant the Holy Spirit so that that indwelling corruption we have also is gradually removed in the process of sanctification. So for all of these reasons, perhaps more, we stand in need of someone outside of us to be our Redeemer. We're helpless and hopeless without that kind of help.
No human being can atone for his own sins, much less for the sins of the world. No one can resolve the problem of sin. No human being can even come close to attempting. As a matter of fact, as the Apostle Paul helps us to understand, the more we try to solve our problem, the deeper we find ourselves in our problem. We try to dig ourselves out of a hole, only to dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. The only one who can save us is the one whom the Father himself would send, whose perfect life would fulfill the law, would indeed fulfill his righteousness. He would die in our place. He would do what we could not do. If I died 1,000,000 deaths, it would not atone for my own sin. But this one death of the only begotten Son of God could atone for the deaths of every sinner who would come to Christ by faith. Without Jesus Christ, there is no atonement for sins. Only Jesus could die for our sins. But that was not where the story ended, or we would still be, as Paul says, of all people most to be pitied, still dead in our trespasses and sins. Jesus not only died for our sins, he was raised by the power of God. He is the first fruit of the resurrection that is promised now to us as well. Only Jesus could save. Only Jesus does save.